Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Bubs, to episode number 181 of the Ant King Frequency. Something a little different today, Larry. How are you going?
I'm quite well, my friend. Quite well. I've had a lot of things in my mind. Been working on my next comic book. Copies of previous works are still for sale.
Yes, of
course. Both in print and in digital. So if you're interested, get in contact with me. But
I've got to change the liner notes for our shows, because they've actually been linking to Neon Trash, and you've had obviously since then Ace come out.
Well, I got two comics, and I'm depending on where you are, I might be able to make you a deal. I might be able,
tell me more about Ace. What's it stand for?
It is Anthology Comic Experiment. It's the first issue, which there are four stories inside. One about a mercenary, one about a former demon of hell who's now a delivery girl. One is about a couple who just can't get a break. They're always being bothered by something, or something happens. Blueberry X Waffle, about a dwarf who's got a waffle for a head, and his girlfriend, who is all blue, not depressed wise, but the color, because her last name is Arandano, which is Spanish for blueberry, so hence Blueberry X Waffle. And the last one is a fantasy tale starring Ru Tung, who is a yellow knight. Looks, I guess part of my inspiration was had to be Super Mario / some
Dragon's Lair,
some Zelda.
Oh, Zelda,
Dragon's Lair a little bit. There's a woman in there, very busty woman, so very Dragon's Lair like.
The style of Ru Tung is very, I don't know, it's got that kind of Don Bluth kind of look to him.
Well, Don Bluth mixed in with a little bit of Ralph Bakshi, especially from the movie Wizards. That's in there too. Wizards, I hated it when I first saw it. Mm. I hated that movie. And then it started growing on me in the back of my mind. I was like, damn, I actually like this. This is like, it took me a bit to kind of like, I understood. Like, it, if I was high or drunk, it'd probably be more fun. But I'm not.
Because I'm partaking neither vice.
Sometimes I wish I did, though. Well. Sometimes. But, hey, it's better to regret something you haven't done, or whatever. But I quite enjoyed the experience, the learning experience that was Ace, also Neon Trash. But the next book will, if anything goes well, I don't have a title ready to share just yet, but it would be bigger, longer, and physically it will be uncut, because more pages, which means I no.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, get ready for Alf Comics coming up next.
They're actually, Marvel did put out Alf Comics. I was reading some old X-Men books and came across the actual floppies, and in the back of it, the last page in one of them was an Alf house ad for Alf Comic, and I was like, I can't escape this. What, Larry, why did you open your mouth? You'll never escape this. So it won't be cut is because if it's my cutting board can only cut 10 pages. Okay. And 10 pages is only 20 story pages, including a cover, which seems like, oh, that ain't that bad. But the problem is, this will probably be somewhere around at least 32 pages interior, still black and white, plus the cover. So, that's quite a bit.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes.
We shall see.
But I do pick on you quite a bit with the Alf stuff. I do kind of dominate the show. It's only fair if once in a while we give you a chance, Larry, to take the reins. Did you want to do so now?
You make it sound as like the child with special needs. They get football games here in the States. They hand him the football and let him run to the end zone unmolested in any other way. The un, uh, the technical unmolested term, not the, you know, they're not like, hey, here's your creepy uncle. Hey, come on over here. Hey, you want to go for a ride?
No, I know. You know? I'm very aware of the proper use for the word molest. The first phrase I learned in Latin in high school was sextus est puer molestus, which, if you didn't know any Latin, is wrought with danger. But no, it just meant the boy called Sextus is an annoying boy. And he's called Sextus because he's the sixth in line. That's what the Latin guys, the ancient Roman guys did. They were pretty lazy, you know. Number one, number two, number three, number four. Anyway, Sextus, sixth kid around, can you blame him, was an annoying kid. That's all it was. But when you're 14 and you hear Sextus est puer molestus, well, your brain goes off in another direction. And it was a Catholic boys' school, so. Anyway, less said about that, the better. Larry, did you have a topic for us today?
Yes, I do. You mentioned something previously in the past couple of weeks. I think it was one of the last times we were playing a game through Xbox.
Xbox? What's this Xbox thing?
It's a thing that's addicting. It's addicting at times. So,
yes, I remember it now. For those at home, I've cast off my Xbox for a couple of months, just giving it a holiday, so I can rediscover my enjoyment of it later on.
Well, it's coming back to it fresh eyes and enjoying every little bit of it instead of just being annoyed by the tiniest bits. Yeah. But you mentioned X-23, Laura, the character who took up the mantle of Wolverine, and how in Logan, the alkaline transgen, the people who created her and her origins and the fact that it was, you know, Wolverine's, you know, DNA, they, you know, and made her, but they won't let her get adamantium claws, and they prevented her from trying to kill herself because, like, I shouldn't exist. So she's trying to, you know, cut her, not just, oh, she's cutting because that's what, you know, emo kids do or anything. No, it's like she's probably trying to kill herself because she realizes hellish existence. I want out of here.
Yeah.
And you'd mentioned that with the Wolverine, the adamantium bonding process, that she's stuck in that body frame for the rest of her existence.
Yeah.
Till she dies or as the sun goes supernova. She's stuck like that forever.
Yeah, adamantium stretch. That's kind of the idea.
Unstable molecules would. That would be interesting. Bonding bones with unstable molecules. That would be actually kind of interesting.
What do you mean? They liquefy Ralph Dibny and insert him into Laura?
No, I was thinking more like mesh. Like they do like that, the mesh like you would do over like a skin grafts, but except for it's unstable molecules, but that's a whole other concept. That's me writing X-Men and Marvel comics.
Well,
and
you're kind of just getting that. Mr. Fantastic then, aren't you?
No, just the material itself. The where it, like it wouldn't really break.
So you mean that pseudo science material, the unstable molecules that they use for all their costumes. So that their costumes are a lycra thin, so thin they could ride up a butt crack and yet stop knives and bullets.
Exactly. Yep. That's what I'm saying. But getting to the point.
Sorry.
The horrific nature, the unintentionally horrific nature it would be to be a mutant or X-Man particular in the Marvel Universe. So today we're talking when X-Men get too real.
Right. Yes, well, when the X-Men get too real, it sounds like, really, if Christopher Nolan wanted to direct the X-Men. These are the Nolan X-Men, complete with locked shot slappy fights that are all from chest height up.
Quick cuts. Everything's going to be quick cut.
Lots
quick
of
cut.
Tribal drums. Everything is tribal drums.
But someone speaks from a voice off screen like this.
The future says not the end, the Nolagamata.
You merely adopted the legacy virus. I was born into it.
Well, that metal, the metal helmet that the Stripe and all that stuff would have,
yeah,
it would echo really bad. So,
Magneto himself would, yeah.
So with Laura, X-23 being coated in adamantium, that means her bones no longer grow. Even though her brain will be sending the hormones for her bones to grow, for her puberty, for the pituitary gland.
Yes.
Telling her body to grow the bones won't, because they're coated in adamantium. The adamantium bonding process, because it's hard to show it and be, because even when Barry Windsor Smith did it in Weapon X, it's like you see a bit of it and it's horrific, but when you break it all down, what they do is they pin you to a table, they knock you out, and they got to keep you sedated because of the appealing factor that your body will process the sedation, you know, medication, the gas and what have you,
yeah,
that they can't numb you to that pain. They open you up, take out every bone, coat it in adamantium, and like just like plating like something in silver or gold, and then put it back in, and your body reabsorbs it, every single bone. For the skull, you know, yeah, they had to take out the plate because the human skull is like it's plated. It's like tectonic plates, which means one thing or another, they ripped apart their skulls, dipped it individually, brought it up, and while it was still molten enough, the molten adamantium was able to
refuse. Laura's very brain can't mature.
No.
She would probably die.
If not die, she would have like issues, like say, let's say seizures. She would have seizures. She would have, you know, the potential of like her body would probably, it probably would adapt to the point where they would compensate. But people forget about Wolverine. Oh, he heals from all these wounds. You know, Laura heals all these wounds. But Logan showed something that no other disease movies did. I mean, not to this degree. Just because you can heal from something does not mean it don't hurt.
Yes,
yeah. Like you are in pain, and the suffering. Like Wolverine in general, like you see in Logan and Logan's story, it's like the transgen alkali, which initially was supposed to be Mr. Sinister, and they just like forget it. We'll cut Mr. Sinister out of it. It's like no point having him in here. He's not the focus of the story. This, you know,
Sinister like doesn't father, work son. In the comics where he came from, let alone on the silver screen. So yeah.
You can make them work, but it's tough. It's really tough to make them work. I don't think there's really too many unsalvageable characters, but it'd been pointless to have them in there.
I think Sinister's up there, but hey, that's a topic for maybe another one.
Oh yeah, that's like who's not salvageable. That could be another topic, but yeah. the focus of the adamantium being in the bonding, you know, being in the body and the adamantium poisoning because it's a toxic metal. It's not, we're talking much like anything strong. There is a other stronger metals that are toxic, any amount, like nickel poisoning, that can actually, if it gets into the ground, if that gets out of certain areas, it can poison the groundwater. So you got to, you know, they call Superfund sites. So any amount of metal can poison groundwater. It can poison the human body.
Yeah.
And just if you don't have the healing factor, you're screwed. And Wolverine in general, you got to think this guy is in pain all the time because they ripped him up and they put him back. So not only the mental pain, hence the whole focusing and samurai stuff and the meditation and all that, because they're focusing on something to not let the pain, like to let the pain flow through you and not focus on all the trauma that you've experienced. And
yeah, because the only other way he can tune out from the pain is the berserker rage. He just lets the white noise take over.
And booze. Like I think it's booze. You got to think. No, booze, like okay. Alcohol, the okay. Adult beverages, but you're drinking so many of them. And you got to think this guy, if they put them together, let's say if they screwed up the, you know, because they've never done this before. They were doing, like, they were enhancing, you know, and if you read Weapon X, it's, they kind of allude to the fact that they enhanced this healing factor too. Like, they kind of, like made him more than that. Like, and so let's say they screwed up his hip and like his hip is like a slightly off. So you got like constant hip pain. Yeah. There's nothing you can do. It's, you know, and Laura, she'll never grow. Her body will never grow. She'll never be able to have kids. Because, you know, your hips are supposed to widen when you, you know, before you have a child. They'd have to, all your kids have to be a C-section. Though true, she could just cut open her own belly, rip out the, here you go, baby, whine, whine, and it, he'll wrap back and that, up.
That's likely but how they do horrific. It, but still, yeah.
It'd still be horrific. Well,
arguably, but, without the proper pituitary discussion, without the, you know, development of certain milestones so that the body gets the balance of progesterone and estrogen correct, you know, she may not ever reach a level of fertility.
Exactly, because we're dealing with a character who, all intents and purposes, in the comics, he's roughly, I think she's somewhere between like 17 and 20 in the comics, but it's been so long since I actually followed him on a regular basis.
They draw her scantily clad enough that she's got to be over 18.
That's a, yeah, let's call it
right. Otherwise, there's something intrinsically evil about Marvel.
Well, you look at the comics she actually first appeared in. That's because she first appeared in the, you know, the cartoon, the X-Men Evolution cartoon, which is a very, very disappointing show. They had the X-23 vial and a earlier issue, I think, of Wolverine. And then you have Ethan Van Sciver says, like, I had a character just like it, but it was X-52 or X-53, X-35 or whatever. It's because if you flip it, it says six. I'm like, dude, just chill out with the whole sex stuff. But the character of X-23 that first appeared in the comics was NYX, which was a Joe Quesada written, Josh Middleton illustrated comic where one of the characters, X-23, was a teenage prostitute. So, yeah. So, wouldn't surprise me. I don't surprise me none. It's like, you know, there's some really questionable stuff in that book. I think there's a lot of
political agendas going on in comic books. And you know, there's always been elements of politics in comics. But I think some of the perspectives are a bit off when you're sexualizing underage girls.
Especially in that case, because it's just...
You know what I mean? Like okay, maybe stop focusing about what you're not doing and get what you are doing right first before you then go tackle all the other issues that you want to grow and develop.
The world's ills, yeah. Like get your house in order before you start telling other people how to get their houses in order.
Couldn't have said it better.
Thank you. Sometimes I pull a good one out of the thin air, out of the ether of the universe. But as far as other X-Men go, you look at Cyclops and with his optic blasts, which, you know, they're not lasers. They're
concussive. Beams of force.
But they have friction. They create friction and everything. So every time, it's not that like, oh, zonk, like any heat that would come off of it, it's like if you rub your feet on the carpet way too fast, not the static electricity thing, but like you build that heat you'd feel on your feet. Just imagine that, but 1,000 times more intense.
Well, the way I think of it more, it's more like a torrent of water. It's like a fire hose hitting you. It's like, you know, those riot hoses.
Oh, yeah, right. Hey, protester, get off the street.
Yeah.
Just hit them with the fire hose. But yeah, it's like that, except coming out of your eyes. So you can't look at no one without the visor, which is, that was one thing I always, like, I'm the concussive force, but, you know, this little flimsy visor that could easily be knocked off.
Ruby Quartz somehow absorbs it. But the thing I don't understand is the abandonment of basic physics in that it has to go somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, so it's bouncing back and forth between the vibe. I just never, it was one of those things, and he could see, but he could only see in red. And, you know, because he took a bump to his head when he was younger, when him and his brother Alex were parachuting out of the plane that was being abducted by the Shi'ar, the Kin, which, because then his father died, but his father really became Corsair of the Star Jammers, and it gets, you know, then we get all X-Men mythology stuff. But he took a bump to his head, so his mutant ability was never, he was supposed to be able to control that same thing.
He's never been able to regulate it.
Yeah, like same thing with Havoc, but Havoc would have been able to regulate it, but he was being manipulated by Sinister for many years, basically make him more powerful, you know, to truly turn him into a, you know, to a generator of power, you know. But the ability to shoot these concussive blasts, which means you have to like lock that down while you're sleeping, because if you don't, anybody, anything around you is going to get obliterated by this concussive force. And the that anguish of not being able to see things with your own eyes, you know, because I think more
about the poor bugger's neck. I mean, going back to physics, for every action, there's an equal or opposite reaction.
Oh,
if he's got
the
force of Niagara Falls coming out of his eyes, it means he's taking the resistance in his neck. So he can't, you know, release a sudden burst out too quickly, or he's going to break his own neck.
He'd have to dial it in, because if you see, like, in, you know, well, that's one thing with that first X-Men movie. They kind of dialed it in a little bit. But, you know, because nobody gets that so detailed in the comics. There's thin beams, there's wide beams and stuff like that. And even in the Marvel versus Capcom games.
Yeah.
And like where they would, you know, like dial, like it was like, you know, object blast, you know, this giant wall of concussive force. But that, you know, you're right that even if we're saying, let's just say it's, you know, somehow
somewhat negated. Let's say it was the force of a kick. Let's just say
your neck is going to be so messed up.
Yeah. Let's just say he emitted the force of just a good kick out of his eyes, which I actually like. But anyway, that's my brain.
He's
a lovely guy who can give visual kicks.
He opens his visor and like a red boot just like starts flying at you. Like, what in the world?
Just kicks.
Kick face. Here's kick face.
Here's kick looker.
Kick face.
But yeah, even just the force of a kick. I mean, if you take a kick to your neck, it's going to freaking hurt. That's what he's doing every time.
Even if you know it's coming, you can compensate. Yeah, you can only compensate so much.
Well, you need a whole harness and brace and head support and everything.
He's got like the halo. He's screwing it into his head. Like, all right, now I'm ready.
Yeah, he looks like DeAndre from Always Sunny. Professor Charles, I got magic legs. Professor Charles, magic legs.
But yeah, even with compensating like that, it would still be it'd be an utter nightmare. But when you look at one of your favorite X-Men, one of the X-Men that's a favorite of yours, and I know she never gets as much love, Jean Grey.
She's not a favorite.
You're not a fan.
No, I only liked her when she had that nun's habit on. That's my Jean Grey.
Oh, you mean the blue the classic. Yeah, the 90s costume, right?
Yeah, she's the only hero who rocks an orange suit. Well,
is it where she'd just be called Jean? Jean! Like, that's where
it's... That's where you're hearing that.
Oh, my God. You can't get away from it. But her power, like, you know, because at the end of the day, I'm personally, I like mutants to only have one power. Like, either you have telekinesis, you have telepathy. But... you know, with her having both, and this kind of ties into the next person I want to talk about, she only moves things in her mind, but she also reads minds. But she doesn't read minds as much as Xavier. Now, just like we had seen in the Grant Morrison run, where the Phoenix Force started coming back and everything, where she started to like creep in on people's minds, not to the point where she's outing them as, oh, we're retconning you. You're gay now, Iceman. Like that.
Yeah.
Like what Bendis did.
And not for 2 weeks like Beast was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like for a brief period.
Yeah, Morrison made Beast gay for like a month.
Until it like took, nope. And like, all right, we're reversing that. Because like, he was dating Trish Tilby at first, and then they're like, let's try something different. And as he tries something different, all right, let's go back.
Yeah, the subtext was he like dumped her for Beak or something. I don't know.
It's already tough. You know, it was tough for a lot of people to accept the fact that Beast looked like Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, that he went from going basically looking like Wolverine turned up to 11 into looking like, you know, a Disney prince.
he turned a witch away. He turned a Scarlet Witch away, and this is what happens to him. But with Xavier, with Jean, with these telekinetics in general, the telepaths in general.
Wait. Telepaths think into other people's brains and have other people's brains think into theirs, whereas telekinetics control physical objects.
They move things with their mind.
As opposed to talk and with their mind.
Exactly. And honestly, the telepaths are scarier because you're looking at somebody like Xavier. You know, he's in the comics, he's supposed to be like between 50 and 70 roughly, even though timeline wise it doesn't work because, he's supposed to be older, all that stuff. But with Xavier, even if he concentrates and tries not to manipulate people's minds, subconsciously, there could be a part of him telling people, I hate that he snores, and consciously, maybe the person stops breathing at all while they sleep. Being able to manipulate people's will, it's like subconsciously thinking, man, I wish she'd wear her hair up, and then next day her hair is up, because he's still a man. That's the creepy thing about it. He's like, well, this isn't asexual. They've outright
said that in X-Men.
Yeah.
What was it, 51 or 52? When
53, I believe. X-Men 53, the one with actually the one where Ocelot shows up and says, "Hey, this guy you love and you think of as a father figure, he's been in love with you since he met you when you're 15."
he's been rubbing his hands together. You're the reason he wears a blanket over his legs.
The legs don't work, everything else does.
Well, that's the other thing. No, you're a telepath, if I was, I'd so go to someone on the bus, hey, Phil, this is Jesus. Put your dick in a coffee. Just do it now. Tell me you wouldn't have fun with stuff like that.
I'd probably get people's pin. I'd do something very, very simple. I'm like, just go to ATM, get out all the money you can get out, just hand it over to me, donate to a charity. I'd bring some walking around cash. But then there's certain people, it's like I'd be watching, I'd actually flip the news channels on, and when they'd ever have one of these senators or one of these politicians, and I'm like, see if my telepathy would work, connect with them, from whatever 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Tell us all your deepest secrets. And they start talking last week we were over at the Bohemian Grove, and they brought up a sacrifice. And they're like, wait, what? Just start spilling their guts. All these celebrities, when they do these interviews and stuff, they'd all be tape delayed because they'd be scared of some psychic getting into their mind.
Except telling them you telegraph into Kim Kardashian's head, and then suddenly it's like, hello.
It'd be no.
Where is everyone?
Worse, you get in there. It'd be worse. You get in there, and it's one of the episodes of Stargate SG-1 where they dialed a planet, and it's a black hole, and it starts sucking you in. We can't get out of here. No.
Unlock that chevron.
Put the iris down. Cut me off. I'm a lost cause. Drop the bomb. But that's a scary thing about any kind of telepathy. It's like, oh, wow, you can read people's minds. But there's a great example of it, from the movie, a controversial movie, but The Last Temptation of Christ that Scorsese
did. Say The Last Mutation of Christ?
Well, it could be. Well, I remember a comic where somebody's talking was Jesus a mutant? No, don't go there. Don't go there. It's tempting.
Was Ascension his secondary mutation?
He was Apocalypse. It was one of Apocalypse's Apocalypse is like, good, very good. it's a von Nur, the Temple Mount. Oh god. But with The Last Temptation of Christ, there's a scene where he's writhing around in the ground in pain because he's hearing all the suffering and desires and hopes and of the people of humanity. And it isn't like Daredevil where he can get that's one thing I did like about there's more than a few things I liked about the Daredevil movie. It's the fact that hey, cut yourself, the deprivation tank. Xavier doesn't have one of those that we've ever seen. He doesn't have this anti-psychic deprivation tank.
Well, he had the Xenox chamber.
Yes, but he like on a regular basis, though. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, but like to cut yourself off from psychic connections because, well, you'd really need like a safe room because if you just cut yourself off psychic connections, somebody just like storm in through the window and take you and abscond with you. But there he did go off world
with Lalandra all the time.
Yeah, he did. Well, yeah, because they're like, oh, you're psychic. Oh, how cute. We have people that can shape stars with their minds. And like, oh, I have none. This is the home world, and I got a bunch of other. I got a bunch of solar systems under my thumb.
Yeah, and I doubt he'd get full reception with his head buried in her lap.
You know what Xavier means in our language? It means penis. Oh god! But no, like, other mutants. Like, I mean, you have someone like Nightcrawler, for example, Kurt Wagner. And we were talking previously. It's like how he has to do site to site, teleportation.
Yeah,
and where
he can't imagine where he's going, he has to visualize it.
Yeah, like it's. So you got to. He has to turn his head. So if you were to put him, the worst thing, I figured a good way of actually being able to take out Kurt Wagner, if you were able to put a smoke grenade into a room, and these thermal goggles, and so the smoke grenade itself would obscure his line of sight, his sight at all, and then put these like we call it not chaff grenades, but put up kind of like. Almost like aerial mines, like these like drones. So he couldn't even leap to the ceiling to kind of creep around or, that kind of thing. Cause even that would get him and, he'd ground him. You would prevent him. Now, yes,
he can blind teleport. They've done that before, but it's always taken a lot of preparation for him to be able to do a blind teleport, say 15 meters ahead of himself.
And yeah. It's dangerous though.
He always belabors the risk too.
Because when people, you think like, you were talking about how if he teleports, he could teleport into a wall or into something or whatever, like, or a fly. You were mentioning something like he teleports like or something's in the air, a bird. But when he bamps out and he bamps in. And the bamf is this column of sulfur like smoke because he teleports in between dimensions. That right there, he's leaving our dimension. So that right there, anything within that BAMF area gets obliterated.
Yeah.
Comes back in, it gets obliterated. So he doesn't have to worry about a fly ending up inside his eyeball because he didn't BAMF in. And if he BAMFs into like a pillar, like say he blind teleports or something moves into the way, it would get obliterated. It'd be like the ball, the energy sphere that was seen in Terminator. In Terminator 2, especially, like where it'd eat away everything around it.
Yeah.
But he can get stuck in a mountain. If somebody wanted to drop him out, teleport a mountain on top of him, he'd have to just like blind teleport, see if I can teleport 2 miles up, hopefully to be high enough.
Yeah. But then if he teleports into a field, there's every chance he can materialize inside a deer. And suddenly, you got one less Bambi out there.
That would be kind of horrific. It's like, we have dinner tonight. Dear, I teleported into it. I took out its face. I'm sorry. It's like half an antler. Like the rest of it's like scorched from the. And it smells like sulfur. It's like, oh, this tastes like sulfur. It's like brimstone. Oh god.
Well, Beast wouldn't be able to use a lot of modern facial recognition technology.
Oh yeah, because the way his face has been warped, the muscle groups themselves.
Yeah,
that's one thing I did like about the X-Men First Class movie. They touched upon the fact that Beast mutation with it's the muscles. It's not just the bone structure; it's also muscles to a degree. Like, I mean, they could have done a lot more. That movie was
that's my issues. Least favorite. I have issues. It says a lot that my favorite Beast in the cinematic universe is Kelsey Grammer.
No, that's the best one.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the best one. But it's like, his face is...
The worst X-Men film has the best Beast.
Though apparently they're remaking it with the next, the Dark Phoenix movie. Not only is Dark Phoenix going to be in a movie, Magneto is going to have his equivalent of Avalon.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I didn't know that was coming. Did you watch the trailer?
I watched the trailer and then I'm like, it just proves, just because those Frank Quitely costumes look good on paper, you know, the way they're colored, the way they're drawn, does not mean they look good live action.
It was those like a cross between Quitely's new X-Men and that Wes Anderson X-Men spoof on YouTube.
Then the worst part was the fact that it's so predictable. It's like, oh, I've seen this before, because it's X-Men The Last Stand.
Yeah.
And don't make me defend, please. Hollywood is making, and apparently, you know, the super creep that is Brett Ratner, that movie had more artistic merit than this garbage does. That beginning part of Last Stand, that Angel stuff, and that's another character I want to talk about. Nice segue, my friend. A character like Angel, and Angel, Warren Worthington III, very, you know, this guy is the rest, you know, that one percenter, as people like to say. But how much it would suck to be him, because your mutation, like, you have concussive blast, you can read and you read people's minds and push things with, you know, with your mind. You can climb walls, and you're a super smart inventor. You can create ice from nowhere. You coat yourself in ice and snow, be able to glide around,
transmute yourself into ice.
Well, that's right, yeah, because that's part of it too. It's like where he actually becomes physically ice. Because I forget, because it's like when they first, and that was kind of a, not really retcon, that was they're adding on to the character, his mythos. Yeah. But your power is you have wings and you can fly, but that's it. You have he packed a gun for a while until he got his wings mutilated, he got crucified during a mute massacre, and became Archangel. He really didn't have anything going on.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, the ability to fly, he only flies so high because he lack of oxygen, because they never stated one thing or another where he could actually doesn't have to breathe in as much oxygen. So that make, honestly, you could actually make him cool. You could make him, if you want to go like kind of, you know, tactical, technical kind of stuff, where, okay, he can hold his breath for a long time. He doesn't need as much oxygen as most other people, but then he's like, maybe his bones are hollow.
Well, they've alluded to that.
Yeah.
They've alluded to bird type characteristics of his physiology and physiognomy.
But never like, this is what it is. This is how, you know, they never
went to outright like, said he's got hollow bones like Longshot or Shatterstar.
Yeah. It's like, and there you go. You Shatterstar. Characters like that. Oh, God. That's crippling, you know, just reality right there. But with Angel, that, you know, who'd want those? The wings are more of a detriment than anything else. On the ground, they make you so vulnerable.
It's a wish fulfillment that's millennia old, the desire to fly, to be able to fly, you know, freely through the sky.
But when you think fly, you think just like, oh, you don't have to flap wings, because you think you'd get tired from that too. How much food you would have to take in. And that's another thing, like that, when you put a little somewhat realistic spin, I think the first one to ever really do that was Peter David with the X Factor run with Quicksilver.
Well, think how much air would be offset with every flap of the wing. There wouldn't be a paper or books left standing in the room.
You have to have enough clearance too. You couldn't fly through a window like that. You know, you're a man-sized bird. You'd actually have to have enough lift. Even with hollow bones, you couldn't carry someone to safety. You could limit your carrying capacity. You couldn't carry, you know, oh, a woman's falling to her death. Well, I'm sorry, I can't do nothing for her. If I grab her, she's going to break one of my hollow bone arms.
Also, to keep his body in a plane form, like in a prone position flying, he'd have to have like the strongest core and abdominal muscles. Because if you look at birds, they don't let their feet dangle out behind them. They're built to tuck into the frame of their body.
But doesn't look as cool and when you're drawing it. It
look pretty funny. If he's got his knees around his chin, that would look pretty funny. Just arms out. Just feet splayed out.
Dude, it's maybe these pictures like more. I'm sorry, Warren. I have breaked bad news to you. I'm like, Moira, what's the problem? You're going through the secondary mutation. You're getting a colecum now.
Is that accent a secondary mutation?
It's turning into crocodile, bud. You're going to pee and poop out of the same hole. No! Or cloaca, whatever. Yeah, that
cloaca.
It's like his words. Yeah.
All I heard was you're turning into a Kraken, Charles. That's
We're going to release him. But there's stuff like that. It's like a, you know, there's other. I mean, there's so many of these X-Men when you think about them. Like,
well, what's the trigger for a lot of their? Because you've got two types of mutations. You've got passive and active mutations. So ones that can't be turned off, like Nightcrawler's skin color, or his prehensile senses and awareness. Similarly, you've got Wolverine's healing factor. He doesn't just switch it on. But then you've got active mutations that have to be activated, like Colossus's organic steel armor. He summons it. Kitty's phasing power. I mean, and that's a bit of a difference between the original X-Men, which had sort of an equal spread of powers, versus the newer incarnations of the X-Men, where it was all very much about control and strength. They were all activated powers, like Gambit.
Yeah.
Whereas Rogue, for instance, is just latent. It just, she sucks off whatever is wrong terminology. She leeches the absorbs. Life. Absorbs. That's the word I want. I'm sorry, I was thinking too much about Gambit and it just came out. But because of that, a lot of these active mutations are controlled by, and they've said this in the comics, acts of excitement, acts of stress, anger, irritation. I'm taking the long way around to pretty much say that all of these guys' sex faces would have something mutagenic about them. Like Jubilee on the Glory Stroke would be lighting up the bat board with scorch marks from her fireworks.
Greg Land, is this you? For those that know, Greg Land is a artist known for using pornographic photos for expressions of faces of superheroes from X-Men, mostly Marvel characters.
A lot of Fantastic Four,
A lot of Fantastic Four, but X-Men as well, and Iron Man. So yeah, there you have a lot of that. So if you see a woman with an excited face, Greg Land is probably some pornographic image that he just used.
But I'm just saying, we're, like most human beings, at the point of ecstasy, let's say, they would arguably lose control of their power for that brief, short moment.
Jubilee in general, because when, you know, that really not so good Generation X TV film and the cartoon, the comics not so much. In the comics, her first appearance, she was showing off at a mall. She was like, "Hey, look what I could do! I could shoot off fireworks with my hands."
Yeah,
and everybody's like, "Oh, they always thought like Jubilee is like, oh, she's like a lamer version of Dazzler. Dazzler just shoots like light. She's like, yeah, she can focus into like a laser,
but she needs sound to create the light.
She needs exactly Jubilee just creates it, and." If you live here in America, especially around the 4th of July and New Year's, they always tell you, please, fireworks are not something you play around with. Right. Like they show like a kid mannequin with like a firework in his hand, and boom, the hand goes bye-bye. I'm like, that's Jubilee. Jubilee is she is like walking, don't mess with fireworks. She could direct that at you. And the thing, like if someone, like a good writer was like, hey, she develops that power to the point where it's like she's more badass. It's a problem with Boom Boom, you know, where she had to throw her little explosive balls at people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's about, like, that's all she could really, her power, she has to manifest that. She has, like, that's one of those things. She isn't just like, oh man, I can't control this. But she's like, no, I need to make an explosive. Here's an explosive. Boom, there you go.
She used to have to count down 3, 2, 1.
Exactly. But with Jubilee, she just points her hands at somewhere, like kind of like the Emperor from Star Wars, and since the lightning, you got explosives, pyrokinetic blasts. And when she, in that TV movie and in the cartoon, when she would, like, say she'd be really, like, she would play a game really into the game, would not want to let her borrow your Xbox or PS4 playing a fighting game, because she'd be into the game, and then, like, the controller goes, TV goes,
because everything goes.
It's like fireworks. But that would say that she actually has a immunity to the pyrokinetic blast. Because if your explosive's going off, you know, she does wear a visor. She's got the Bret Hart, Bret the Hitman Hart, you know, slash the Eradicator shades.
Yeah.
And to prevent, because the explosive blast don't hurt her, does not mean that the light doesn't. She's still affected by light, you know, by physics, to a degree. But you know, that's the thing about all these X-Men characters, and for you know, somebody like Gambit, you have to concentrate. Like, some of these powers are very, you know, it made me think, like, what if I, like, there's some times that I've been stuck in traffic and I'm like, man, I'd like to be Magneto because he just, like, pushed all the cars off the highway, like, into the ditches. And it's like, this makes me sound like such, Magneto would be like, oh, that's a little too far. Like, I hate cars that have the baby on boards things. Like, I would target them first. I'm like,
it's not the baby on boards, like, it's the stick figure families.
Those two, but mine's the number one's baby on board, number two's the stick figures. Like, well, you can go ahead and clear those stick figures off, fly the car into the space with my magnetic abilities. But you gotta think, Magneto, you're walking around and you're sensing where metal is. So it's like you are living a metal detector. You could feel that there are nails like 5 feet down to your left. You know, I would think there would be a pull. And there was something that was brought up in the Warren Ellis kind of taking a piss out of Marvel's. I don't know why they greenlit it. It was a 2-issue series called Ruins. And in it, it's like nightmare version of Marvel's. It's like Quicksilver has his legs cut off. The Avengers have been killed. Galactus is dead, floating outside Mars. But the second issue has Magneto on a plane. And you don't know it, realize it's Magneto, but he has a degausser to prevent the metal from coming at him.
Yeah.
And so he gets executed because they find out it's a mutant. You know, they try to kill him. Like, we think when they have a photo of the guy's Magneto, you'd think he wouldn't even be allowed to get on the plane, but whatever. It's like, yeah, suspension of disbelief. But they dig out, like, to keep the magnetic forces from attracting. Like, who's to say Magneto, you know, doesn't, like, that's the thing, like, they've never really explored, not to my knowledge, the fact that, what if you, if you're Magneto, what if you have to push stuff away and keep it away from you? Like, you have to be careful. Like, if you're around, you couldn't go down the hardware aisle, like, all the nails would be flying at you. I mean, it'd be kind of horrific. Like, that kind of power, yeah, you can manipulate it. You can, like, hey, don't come after me, go there. But, you know, you'd want to be in space. You'd want to be, you know, on Asteroid M or whatever, because you'd want everything to stay together.
Wow, I'm looking at some of the artwork here for Ruins, and it's terrifying.
It's like a nightmare. It's like Hellraiser, Clive Barker, but with Marvel characters.
Yeah,
it's quite, it's probably the best early Warren Ellis thing. It's like, it's so just hateful, though. I kind of like it. It's like, it's unabashedly. How can we joke the most British thing? And that's basically what it is. Like, you wanted to do a series where you're sending up the heroes of the Silver Age. We're going to take the piss out of it. There's one really good splash page. It's a beautiful painting, a piece of Valkyrie. She's like, she's outside the plane. She's like, you know, like on her winged horse, which is, that's a Greek thing, but whatever. It's like crossing over Greek and Norse, whatever. Hey, Greek, Norse, it doesn't matter.
But same, I find.
Yeah, same. But, and I there's so many other X-Men to talk about. One, but this is I guess, because it wouldn't really work as a whole episode, but a character who gets lumped in with the X-Men at times, even though he's not a mutant, the closest thing he would be, it was a mutate, would be Spider-Man. You know, because the radioactive spider bit him, gave him the equivalent powers of spider sense and strength and agility and all that stuff. But there's something about Spider-Man that one thing that people, you know, don't really mention is like, oh, he's great power, great responsibility. He wants to help people and all that. Well, if he wanted to help people, he could make the web formula a free source material, give that out to the world. So cops, instead of shooting people with guns, they shoot them with like web shooter guns, yeah. Which is like one of these, like, which hey, Spider-Man fights people with guns all the time, and like, you know, guaranteed a group of people, you can put out a bunch of, you know, web them to the wall, and eventually, you know, you can get them out of there. Just, and because of Spider-Man, like the material, the web material, we've seen in the past in the comics where Spider-Man heals from his wounds pretty fast. Even with his agility and his enhanced, like his strength, you got to think how many muscle fibers he's tearing each time he goes for a swing. Because a human being, like, yes, you could dress in Spider-Man's costume. You could have the web shooters attached to your wrists. You would rip your arm out of the shoulder if you tried swinging around with that web shooter, because even if you were in really good shape, just got to think, oh, attached the web, grabbed onto it. Anybody could grab onto it. Anybody could attach a web, but it's actually swinging and being able to coordinate it enough.
Yeah, being in free fall and catching yourself free fall, that's major shock right there.
Without dismembering yourself, you know.
Well, or blacking out from G forces beforehand when you're coming on the upturn from the swing.
Because you got to think, and also being able to where Spidey can drop the web and like attach to the side of a building and kind of slow himself down with the spider fibers,
yeah,
or the cocoon that this has. But I think that's if you all have any.
Well, I think we've left the gate open thoughts for other people to come up with their own ideas or thoughts there, Larry, and we'd love to hear from them. What's the best way they can get in touch with us?
We're on Twitter at Larry King Undead for me.
Yep, at Antonio Sanciolo for me. We've got our Facebook page for the podcast. That's just facebook.com/antkingfrequency. We've got the email, podcast@antkingfrequency.com. So anything you want to get us back to about, is that even a sentence? Anything you want to get back to us about, be it related to this episode, comic book consequences, which actually I think might be the title of this show.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. I'm all right. Comic book consequences or anything else you want to discuss for future shows, let us know. It's been great talking to you as always, Larry, and we'll catch you again next week. Bye.
Frequency. Copyright 2018 by White Tiger Graphics.